Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to do this song. It's called You Waited.
You came out of your way. You sat down to speak to me. What amazing grace that you've shown, so patiently, and you waited for me, just for me. Oh. This amazing grace you've shown, so patiently, you've shown, so patiently, and nation lives in you.
Welcome to The Couch with Stacey Lunsford. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Today we have a very special guest, and her name is Jasmine McBride. She is a published author, and she is also an awesome woman of God. She is a prophetess, and God is doing wonderful things in her life, and at this time, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others Prophetess Jasmine McBride. Welcome to The Couch. How are you today?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Apostle Stacey. God bless you. I'm blessed. How are you? Praise God.
I am blessed, and I'm excited to have you with me today. There's a lot that we're going to cover. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. So I want to share with our listening audience what today's topic is going to be about. Although we're going to learn who is Jasmine McBride. Many of you have been seeing her post on Facebook with just supporting the work that God is doing, and she's been introducing us to a lot of people, but she is an awesome woman of God, and she has a wonderful teaching ministry. And today we're going to learn about inspiration behind the book that she published, and the title of that book is The Price of Deception, Sin Cost. And during this uplifting interview, we're going to learn the true story of how she supported her husband through his homosexual lifestyle that he overcame for 3 years before he walked away from God and walked away from her in their marriage. And what I find to be so humbling is Prophetess McBride, her goal is for the reader and for the listeners today to learn from the victories of her and her husband and their mistakes. So I'm going to ask you to please share this broadcast with someone that you know can be blessed by the contents that we're going to be sharing today. And Prophetess Jasmine, I'm going to just turn the mic over to you to just elaborate and tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Wow, so many things, but mostly God, His grace that was upon my life during that season. And me not having much information on same-sex lifestyle. And at the time when all this happened, I didn't even really have that deep connection with God as I do now. I served Him as the way we do religiously. It wasn't the way I should have had that personal relationship, but I always knew that God was with me. And during this journey of discovering what was happening, when I discovered what my now ex-husband was doing, I blame God at the time as well. I'm going to be real honest with the viewers and the listeners. I said to the Lord, this was not a blessing. This was a curse. And I learned to embrace what happened. And I had to stand before the Lord and repent for those words. And initially, when all this happened, it happened while we were living in Singapore. And there was another book written before this one which was called Breaking Through a Cliff, which he and I co-wrote. And at the time, we had it published and everything on Amazon. And the book initially, the intention was to show people that, you know, it's a mindset, it's a choice to live this lifestyle, and but God is able to bring you to your natural form if you allow. And I wanted the readers and those who followed the journey that I've been on to understand that God is in everything and God has a greater plan for our lives. And no matter the situation or the circumstances that you find yourself in, God is with us, you know. He never leaves us. And the inspiration that I got was because I saw how God got me through those seasons and through the journey, how he never left my side. Even though I didn't know that God never left my side, I thought he did, but he held on to me. And this is why the ministry is called Jeremiah 1:5, because I stood on a verse in that scripture where the Lord says, "For I have foretold your whole life." And that is what drew me to God and wanted to do the things that God wanted me to do and be who God created me to be. And the book was inspired because of God's love for me and what an amazing God we serve and how he pulls you through. And as I said, it doesn't matter what you're going through. God is there for us if we allow God to take full control of our lives. He will bring us through the circumstances and the situation because he has the authority and the power to do so. And the book was written to help people to draw to God and not to give up, not to give up on God, not to give up on themselves, but know that God is able to pull you through whatever it is you're going through in life.
Powerful. And you said a lot, and I want to go back to the part where you said you was angry with God. And I want to connect that with the song. Our opening song was You Waited. And that song is by Tavis Green. And I chose that song specifically because when you went through this process, and I'm quite sure it was like a place of denial, a place of acceptance, a place of anger, a place of, you know, you just experience so many things. And what I love about God is he waits for us. And Jasmine, God knew you was angry with him. But he said, you know what? I love my daughter so much. I understand her anger. Like other people may not understand. And they may even misjudge her because of the anger she feels towards me. But because of my luxurious love for Jasmine, I'm going to wait for her. So that's why I shared that song, because God waited for you. And even when you felt like God wasn't there, you was really waiting for him too, because you wanted to see God. You wanted to feel God. You wanted to be like, okay, God, I'm right here. Where are you? So when did you realize that you were angry with God? And why did you get angry with him versus getting angry with your ex-husband?
The reason why I got angry with God was like, I think many of our listeners who's been through, it doesn't matter whether your partner has gone through same-sex relations or opposite-sex relations. When you're married and you're in a marriage like that, you become more like the one who is the one who did wrong, because you are so busy trying to fix your marriage. You're trying to fix the person who's doing the wrong. You're trying to hold the marriage together, that you forget about yourself. You get lost in all this because you, if you hear what I'm saying, you, meaning I, instead of me going to God, I tried fixing things and I took God completely out, and yet I became angry at God, and yet it wasn't God. If I had just gone to God, if I knew better to go to the Lord, but because I was doing all these things, trying to fix him, trying to keep our marriage together, trying to be the perfect wife, trying to be the perfect husband ever. Because we were people who used to always entertain people because of the job he did. You know, the people that he moved with was not of a low caliber. You know, they were very intellect people and things like that. So I had to always pretend to be someone who I was not, yet that was not who God wanted me to be. And I was trying to keep everything together. I was trying instead of going to God. And when I saw whatever I was doing, it was just making matters worse. And this is when I began to get angry at God. And I said, Lord, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen to me, Lord? Why am I going through this? What did I do? And I questioned God and I said, Lord, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Why did you give me this man? Why did I marry this man? You know, this man, as I said to the Lord, this man is not a blessing. He's a curse. I was so angry at God because he was the only one that I could go to and I could be angry at because I knew that he understood my pain, even though people sympathized with me and they felt sorry for me, but they didn't know the pain that I was going through. They didn't know the anxiety and what I had to live with. It's tormenting when you go through stuff like this. You know, like I would say, when a man has an affair with a woman, you as a wife, you can go and approach that woman. But how do you as a woman approach another man knowing your husband is sleeping with men? It's totally different. And I was questioning God and I was like, God, why did you allow me to be born? I felt like Job. I really felt like Job, you know. And but through all that, he never left me. Through all that, he always gave me whenever. I remember one day we were sitting in counseling back in Singapore when we lived there. And the pastor asked my ex-husband, how is it that your wife knows everything before you do it? And he said, because the Lord shows her. Even though through my anger towards God, he never left me. He kept on showing me things. He kept on showing me things. And I stayed because I honored God. Even though I was angry at God, I still honored God for my marriage. I still believed in the sanctity of marriage, that it's sacred and holy, and I believed in the institution of marriage. And as I said, you know, many times people would ask me, but didn't you know that he was doing this? And I'm like, you know, I would use an example. If you're not exposed to drugs, how would you know if a person uses drugs? I was never exposed to these things, so I wasn't aware of, I didn't know the signs or anything when people are doing these things. But my anger was so vented towards God, even though I was angry at him, he stayed by my side. He never gave up on me. He never, ever gave up on me once. And this is why I also wrote the book, because even through our anger, God never leaves us. And this is, you begin to understand when he says, I love you unconditionally. So even when we fail, he still loves us. He doesn't forsake us.
Yes, and that is so, so true. Now, for how long were you married before you learned about his relationship?
At the time,
or his other lifestyle.
I remember it was just a month after our fifth wedding anniversary, and oh gosh, I remember we were still living in Singapore at the time, and my mom's youngest brother, he passed away during the South African World Cup soccer, and she came to visit, his wife came to visit us. And I remember I was cooking lunch the Sunday, and I asked him to go and get us a dessert. And I will never forget, I stood on the patio watching him walk off to the store. And the store is like 5 minutes walk from us, so it would take him roughly 10 to 13 minutes to walk to the store and come back. And as he walked off, I felt this uneasy heaviness come over me, and I didn't know what it was, but it was really heavy. And it was hours before I eventually called the police to, and they started searching for him. And when he eventually came home, and I always remember this, when he came, he had the smell on it. And it is the most vile smell I will never forget as long as I live and breathe. He came back. And as I said before, earlier on, I wasn't in a place with God in my relationship as where I am now. And I remember picking up the chair. I remember picking up the chair in our bedroom. And I said to him, if you don't tell me where you were, I will bash your head. Really, I did say that. And he got such a fright because he's never seen me so angry. Because it wasn't the anger of what you were doing. It was the anger of where were you? I was worried anything could have happened to you. And then he told me. And I think the initial shock came when he told me that he did that 6 years prior before he met me. So at the time I found out he was doing it 11 years already. So this started at his university days. So that was a big shock to me. And I always say when people ask, so what was going through your head when he told you that? And I say, I can't remember for the life of me. I cannot remember what went through my head. The initial shock, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And that's when things just took a worse for a turn for the worse. It really went bad from there. And,
okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just amazed at your transparency, and I'm throughout the interview I'm going to say different things because God is using this interview to let others know that it's okay to be transparent. Sometimes we choose to hide because of the shame, because of the embarrassment, and so we hold it inside. And when we do that, it gives the enemy room to keep us in bondage and to control us. But your honesty with this whole thing is what is so liberating, and it's going to help other people. And so if you are listening to this interview, to this broadcast, please learn by the examples that Prophetess Jasmine is sharing. Now, we're not encouraging you to just go share your business with anybody. That's not what we're saying. But please take the time to go to God in prayer and cast your cares upon him and be honest with how you feel. You know, she said, you know, I took that chair and I wanted to bash him upside his head, but she did not. And I think, Jasmine, those are some of the things that, even as believers, you know, I read this book about anger, and the author said she threw a plate and it just missed her husband's head. And she was so embarrassed, but she wasn't trying to hide the fact that she was that mad, and she was a Christian, but she had to go back and apologize. So I'm saying that to say, even as believers, sometimes we make mistakes. And when we get caught up in our feelings and our emotions, we can make bad decisions. But you know what? If we do, we repent and we make another decision and we make things right.
Mm-hmm.
So you,
amen.
After you talked to him, he came back. And what shocked me, I didn't expect you to say what he shared with you. So he was being honest as well. And
yep,
I believe,
he was.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he was honest with you because this thing was really bothering him and that he trusted you enough, even knowing that it was going to hurt you, that I need to come clean with this. So accurate am I with that?
You are. I believe it was really hard on him. Because at the time I found it, as I said, it was a month after our fifth wedding anniversary, because I met my husband in London. I met him up in the US, in the UK. I met him there. And it wasn't long that we decided to move in together, and a couple of months later we decided to get married and that. So when I began questioning him about this lifestyle, he began to open to me that he was doing this even in right through the beginning of our marriage. During our relationship, he didn't. But during our marriage, he began doing it. He began visiting thoughts for men and stuff like that. And I was shocked. I was really, really shocked. And as I said, unless you've been exposed to things like this, you're not going to know the signs. You're not.
Right.
And I want to be honest with the viewers. It's because I remember 2 years back, the Lord, one Friday, it was in August, and I was just about waking up, and the Lord said to me, it's time that you shame and expose the devil. Do not be ashamed anymore. Do not allow the devil to keep you into a shame that is not your shame. And this is why I'm transparent, because at the bottom, at the end of it, even though we are in ministry, we are human. We have emotions, we have feelings. We go through the pain, we go through the shattering, we go through the breaking, the carnal, the mortal, you know. We go through that as we go through the spiritual breaking and scorching and refining. We do go in our flesh as well. And I want to be real with everybody, because I don't know, there's so many that feels they have to feel ashamed for something they did not do. Because that's what the devil does. He makes you feel ashamed for somebody else's sin, especially when it's a husband and a wife. You begin to feel shameful because of what they're doing. Because what the devil does, he has a tendency of making you feel you're not good enough. There's something wrong with you. You caused it. But I praise God in my situation.
Right.
He did this before I met him. So there was no way the devil could put this on me. And I was not going to take the shame for something that I'm not responsible for. And this is why I want to be real with the listeners, because we have to be real. And yes, I had to go back to the Lord and repent. I had to go back to God for the things I did and I said, because I do regret. Yes, I didn't start this, but I had also a hand in it, the way I handled it. You know, it doesn't justify, even though he was doing wrong, but it does not justify my behavior. We need to take accountability for our behavior in the things we do and we say. It doesn't matter the circumstances or the situation, because if we don't take accountability, how are we going to acknowledge and know that we're doing wrong? How are we going to be able to stand before God and ask for mercy? Amen?
Amen. That is true. And I want to visit that shame for a moment, because I'm so in agreement with what you said. And oftentimes when a person experiences trauma, bad news, hurt, we have a lot of people that have been sexually assaulted and domestic violence. Sometimes children will witness their parents or a parent abusing, you know, the mother, one or the other, but that shame is always present. And the
yes.
shame is one of the tools that the enemy will use. But you said it is not your fault. You are not responsible for what that person did. And that is so true. And it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal that, you know, to the person. Because as a woman, I mean, both of you were in ministry. I mean, you're growing in ministry, but nonetheless, you're in ministry. This is your husband. You love him. But prophetess,
yep.
not only are you a minister and you're a wife, but you're a woman. And so now
yep.
here you find out that your husband has interest in the opposite sex and has been living this secret lifestyle. So as a woman...
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me like woman to woman. What did that do to your confidence?
Oh, it made me angry. For my self-confidence, you know, I won't say it broke my self-confidence. What made me feel sick about it, literally physically sick, was how could you be with a woman? How do I explain this? A woman is someone who looks at a man. How can you compete with another man if your husband is with a man? You cannot compete, because it's something that you attracted to as well. So you're both attracted to the same sex. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm attracted to men. I find men attractive, and he does. So there's no, it doesn't break my self-confidence because it's not a woman. If it was a woman, yes, then I think my self-confidence would be broken. I would, why are you choosing her over me? What is different from me, from her and me? What's the difference between the two of us? But this was a man. So there's no competition. It's just the fact that you and your husband are both attracted to the same sex. That is actually sickening. The thought of it makes you physically sick. Because I remember, you know, as I said, the moment I found out and he began confessing and we tried getting help and counseling and accountability groups and pastors in to help him be accountable, even that he didn't want to accept because he willfully, it was like, you know, let's say someone is an arsonist, I'm just hypothetically speaking, and you know, you need to hide the firelighters or whatever it is so the person doesn't get hold of him to start fires, right? But now you put it there out there, so you're actually giving them, you're actually indulging them in doing what they want to do. The same with this, to him was what I began to sense in my spirit was, the moment he realized that I know the truth, it was as if it gave him license to go and do it more. He became more bold in doing it.
Mm.
So my self-confidence wasn't broken in that aspect for a man, because the fact also what was for my self-confidence comforting to me was the fact that he was doing it before he met me. So it wasn't, I wasn't going to look for blame at myself, because many times when we came to do that, when your partner strays, especially if it's a husband straying or your boyfriend strays with another girl, you as a woman begin to question yourself. Is there something wrong with me? Am I overweight? Did I not cook the food right? Did I say the wrong thing? And that's exactly how the devil wants you to be. And that's also a part of abuse, self-abuse, you know, and that's the worst abuse you can do to yourself, is when you're suppressing yourself to justify somebody else's behavior, if I could say it like that.
Yeah.
And I hope the listeners understand, because many times when we do that, we are actually helping justify their behavior when we shouldn't. And I hope this is of encouragement to those who's going through this. Don't look for fault at you. It is not you. It is them. Don't ever blame yourself. Don't you ever take the shame for something you are innocent in. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And that is powerful, and that needed to be said. And Prophetess, you're touching base on so many areas where I really think we should build on some of these topics and have some follow-up shows that can really help going deeper with some of these topics, because a lot of people in marriages, a lot of marriages where one or the other has been unfaithful, many people are suffering in the area you just explained, and they do think it's my fault or what did I do wrong?
Yes.
And that causes more destruction than the actual offense of what the person did. Because now the enemy has a stronghold in their mind, and they began to feel insignificant. They began to feel unworthy. Mm-hmm. And like you say, they began to cooperate with that spirit of shame. And I want to pause here for a moment to just say that Prophetess Jasmine McBride has a healing and a deliverance ministry. And she is also a counselor. And I want to read just a little bit of her biography. And I'm going to be doing that throughout the interview. And if anyone is listening and you have a question or a comment that you would like to present to Prophetess Jasmine, please press 1. And we will get you on the mic. And if you have a comment and you're not on the air with us, you can leave a comment on the blog page or on Facebook. But Prophetess Jasmine, many know her as Jasmine Hallman, and she has been called in the office of a prophetess, and God gave her that calling since the day she was conceived. She has been doing ministry and working behind closed doors in counseling ministry, where God has performed surgery on her, where God has operated on her while he isolated her from people and from outside distractions so that the Holy Spirit could teach her for a time such as this.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetess Jasmine operates in teaching how to break soul ties. She has a very strong healing and deliverance ministry and an orphans ministry. Her desire is to disciple people for the glory of God. Prophetess Jasmine has been called, her ministry is called Jeremiah 15 Christian International Ministry for Christ. And she has been in ministry now for 3 years. So I wanted to give a little bit of Prophetess' background so that you will know who she is and what the Lord has called her to do. Now, this is a very taboo kind of topic that most people don't talk about, and that was one of the reasons I believe you wrote the book. But I wanted to share your background so that people can understand that, one, sometimes we go through things and we don't understand it at the time, but it's a bigger purpose. But the hurt and the pain from all of the suffering, from all of the trauma, you know, sometimes we get stuck. But when we get unstuck, Prophetess, that's when we realize God is doing his greatest work. So you're in this marriage, you're in love, you and your husband, you're doing ministry together. You find out about his alternative lifestyle. You're shocked. You realize you're not going to take on his issues as your own. You're not going to be ashamed. So what was the next thing you did? When did the forgiveness come in? Because, and I'm saying it that way, because at some point you chose to forgive him, and then you supported him as he went through his healing process. So I thank you for identifying all of the things that you shared so far. So let's transition into the forgiveness process where you was able to forgive him. And how did you forgive him? Like, where were you at? Because you were angry with God. So let's pick up after you stopped being angry with God. Like, what happened? And then you can transition into the process of forgiveness.
Wow, you're talking about something that I never thought about. I never, ever had unforgiveness towards him, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow,
I loved him. I loved him unconditionally. And we would have our fights and our arguments, but I would never hold anything against him. Never. I had to learn later on to ask, because things just got worse and worse and worse. And I came to a place where the Lord made me realize, daughter, you cannot change him. He cannot change himself either. And I had to learn to embrace him. And I had to learn to love him the way God loved him. I thought that I still loved him as a wife. I only realized this later on, after the separation, that the love that I felt for him as a wife died the moment he told me what I felt was empathy, and I projected as love for him. It wasn't the love of a wife anymore. It was gone. But I was so caught up in trying to save him, trying to help him, trying to save my marriage, that I didn't even realize my emotions, my feelings what I was dealing with myself. It was just my anger projecting against God, not even angry at him, but angry at God for giving me this kind of man. So there was never really anger towards him at all. Only later did I realize this. And when I came to a place, because I remember, I'm going to tell you some stuff. I remember one Friday he went to work and I was looking for him. And one of his colleagues helped me look for him. His colleagues didn't know what was going on. In fact, one of his colleagues that I found out he was having sex with at work actually called me and he apologized to me. And he said to me he didn't know he was married. And when I found out these things, he came to a place, Apostle, where he would literally tell me just to make, I don't know what was his, it felt like he was trying to rub it into my face. He would tell me about the orgies he had with men, how many hours, what he did with men, that I would start seeing this filth on him. And when I said, God, I don't want to see him like this. I don't want to see this filth on this man. Please make me see him the way you see him. Make me love him the way you love him. This is when I realized I don't love him as a wife anymore. I love him as a child of God, good son, as a lost soul, as someone who's confused, who doesn't know who he is anymore. So as unforgiveness, I never had unforgiveness towards him. That never came in. It was always just trying to help him. I think if our listeners that's on, you as a mother can relate to this. As a mother, no matter what your child does, you love them unconditionally. Your love for them never changes. Who they are in your life never changes. And that's the same with that was how my love was for him. It never changed. And I only realized that afterwards. There was no conditions, though I've lost the love as a wife, but the unconditional godly love that I had towards him was enough to forgive every time he went and he came back. And he did this. I would actually embrace him. I would say to him, just go have a shower. I'll get something to eat. You go sleep. And I had to learn to deal with this. This is how God taught me later. Because at the moment I allowed God in, I could release the pain and the anger. Because God helped me to release it through embracing, through helping, and doing what I can. And I wanted him to see the God in me. The God of kindness, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, the God of peace, the God of meekness, the God of grace, the God of humility. I thought if he can begin to see that God in me, through me, maybe that will draw him closer to God, you know. But we also have to come to a place where we have to accept, and not accept the lifestyle, but accept that you can keep on praying for that person, but it's a conscious choice they make in life, how they want to live. You can pray all you pray, you're praying and for hours and you're going to prostrate yourself. I had done all that. I wept, I cried, I was mad at God. But no matter how much I did this, he just didn't want to change. And you come to that place where you accept there's nothing you can do or say that can change him. He must want to change. So the forgiveness was always there. It never occurred to me that I had unforgiveness towards him. And I always say to him, and I'm going to say this is the truth, if I take that out of the equation, if that was not part of our marriage, I can say he was a perfect husband. Without that, I can say there is good in him as well. We have to give credit where credit is due. And I'm going to be real, you know. He was good in his own way. He was a good man as well. He was just, he couldn't fight this. And he knows that. He couldn't do it on his own. But at the end of the day, it is a choice. And I went to the Lord in repentance when the separation came, when he left. I think that was unexpected because we were in counseling. We were in marriage counseling, and at this time, we were back in Europe. And I didn't know that he was going to do that. And I just realized after a while that he planned to leave and to move in with the guy for a long time already. I just didn't see it coming.
So how did all of this affect your ministry together?
Well, you see, we weren't doing, we just did ministry from home and in with individuals and with small groups. We didn't really do ministry. People didn't really do much of the, know of the ministry. So people, it was hard. It did have an effect on the ministry, because we would be ministering to people, praying for people while my husband's doing wrong. You know, it's like, I think there's a scripture in the Bible where Abraham went to pray for a childless couple, and I think the man said to Abraham, "You are childless, why are you praying for me?" Sometimes God can use our situations, what we're going through, to help others, and through that healing comes for us as well. Healing can come for you through while you're going through your own struggles and pains. God will use you to minister others. I saw the amazing work the Lord did in the ministry that he and I did from our place of our home. I saw the changes God did in the people's life, and I saw it was amazing how the Lord used us, because he's called to be an evangelist. That is the calling on his life. And I saw how God used us. He would get the word, I would get the vision, or he would get the vision, I would get the revelation. That's how amazing that God used us. And the enemy knew that. So the enemy knew how to fight me. And because I didn't know how to fight the enemy at the time, you know, I was weak. Right. I didn't know how to really surrender everything to God, because I wanted to do it in my flesh. And I failed. But I know that God doesn't hold that against me. And Apostle, as you said, you know, the ministry is called Jeremiah 1 verse 5, not Jeremiah 15, because there was a scripture in there, a verse in there, where he says, "I foretold your whole life." That is what, that is, that word of God is what gave me the strength and brought me back to the Lord. Because the Lord told me two things during the separation, just shortly after he left. I heard the Lord say to me, "Us under." And I said, "Lord, what do you mean, us under?" And he said to me, "I didn't do this." And I think it was a week later the Lord said to me, "Not your wrath, my wrath." And with those words is what drew me even more closer to the Lord. And I said, "Okay, Lord, have it your way." And I just surrendered everything to the Lord. I just said, "You be God over my life." And I remember when he came back, I think it was a month or so after he left, he used to pop in and he said to me, "I met someone." And I think God sent him, and I said, "That's a lie from the pit of hell." And I remember I was just baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and I began speaking in tongues. And that is the day I said, "Now I choose God." And I remember he got mad at me, and I said, "You can't get mad. You chose to walk away from the Lord and me and our marriage, and I choose God." And that was the day I decided I'm going to live my life with the Lord. And I made a promise to God that I will wait upon you. And it is only God's grace that gave me the courage to do the book as well. Because I remember, as I said, we wrote a book together. We co-wrote the book. And he blocked the book, and I didn't know. And I found out that he blocked the book, and I asked, "Why did you block the book?" And his words were, "It was a lie, everything." And he quotes scriptures in there. He goes and gets scriptures about this lifestyle and why you're not supposed to be like that. And the book, the initial book, was also written to help people through their struggle of same-sex relations and same-sex attraction. And I remember during the divorce procedures, I said, "I want the rights to the book." And he said, "I could get it on the condition that I change his name," which I did. I then rewrote the book 2 years ago. It's a much bigger book now, and published it over 2 years ago. Yeah, I did change his name in the book, because that was the terms and condition of our divorce decree. And when I was busy writing the second book, because I've got a second book, the conclusion to the first book, it was really hard for me to win the second book, because when I began the second book, I had to go back in time, and I realized how I got lost in this whole thing, how I never dealt with my pain. And it became too emotional So I didn't have a writer's block. I just had, I had to go through this pain and the healing. And praise God, I'm healed, and I'm continuing with the second book after the first book. So I'm writing two more books now. So, yeah, I'm glad that, you know, I chose the Lord, and I embrace what has happened in my marriage. I embrace God, and I embrace the situation, and I praise God for it as well. Because had this not happened, had he not left, I would have not known who I am, and I would have never been healed. I would have never known that I was born to be a prophetess, that I was born and called for women's ministry and for the nations. And I give God the glory in everything. I really, really do. Because it was only the love of God that who held on to me that pulled me through this.
Amen. You know, I'm really encouraged by the grace upon your life, because you said my question caught you off guard about forgiveness, and you really didn't have a problem with forgiving him. And that's nothing but grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to linger there for a moment, because being honest, most women would have went off totally. Like, for unforgiveness would have been like the topic of the day, bitterness, resentment, everything. But because of God's grace upon your life, you not only saw him through God's eyes, I mean, you dealt with what you was dealing with and the reality of what he was doing, but you asked God to let you see him through his eyes. God honored mm-hmm. your request. So you were able to support him through this process. And mm-hmm. that is commendable. And without God's grace, it would not have turned out that way. And I believe that he recognized that you was one of his destiny helpers. Even though, you know, ultimately he made the decision to move on. But without you in his life, Jasmine, I don't think things would have turned out the way he, or just the way they did, let me just say that, because you supported him. Had he had someone in his life that was, go ahead.
Supporting his career, I supported him in everything I did. And let me say this, I'm a very ambitious person. And if I see you have the ability to grow and to be better than what you are, and I know God has given you the skills, I'm going to push you into that. I'm going to help you achieve who you're supposed to be and who God wants you to be. I do that because I know God does give us the skills in that. And that's what I did. I supported him right through his career, right through. And he's really made it far in his career where he is. He's really, really made it very far. And that is all the grace of God. And it's true what you say, Apostle. You know, the ability to forgive is only when you know the love of God, when you've experienced, not just heard of God's love or seen God's love, when you for yourself have experienced and felt the love of God, it is so easy to forgive. And there's something I teach on a lot. The Lord has me teach a lot on forgiveness and unforgiveness and letting go. God is really, and his love. This is something that I really teach on a lot as well. Because, you know, through our unforgiveness, we just hold ourselves in bondage. We're just stopping ourselves from hearing the voice of God. The person you have unforgiveness towards don't even know that you have unforgiveness towards them. You are delaying yourself. You're opening the door to the enemy. With unforgiveness, it's not worth it. You know, I know it's painful. I'm not saying it's not painful. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. It's deep. But when you want healing, your healing can only come through forgiving others. That's how you get healed.
Yeah.
It's by releasing.
I often say that the beginning process of the healing process starts with forgiveness, and it does. And when we're ready to forgive, the floodgates of heaven are open, because you get a supernatural strength and power from God that opens you up to receive the grace you need, because the grace is always there.
Mm-hmm.
But unforgiveness rejects the grace. And I think through, you know, this topic is so good, and because people experience so many things, you know, when we reject God, when we're hurting, when we reject his grace, when we reject all of the wonderful things he presents to comfort us, he understands that. And I want to stress that, because many times when people are in that place, they feel bad. Like, and then the devil is saying, oh, God is never going to forgive you. He's going to remember that you was angry at him. He's going to remember what you was thinking, you know, and he will harass people to no end. But that's where we have to know what we know in our own hearts. You know, God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
And for you, you know, the word of God tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I believe that God is using this interview, your story thus far, to show people that we can walk in forgiveness. And it's not about, it wasn't about you. It wasn't about your ex-husband. It was about pleasing God. And prophetess, I believe when you make a decision to please God, you know, God will empower you to do great things. And because of your desire to please God, you were able to support your husband through this process. So now you support him through this process. You both write a book together. So when you wrote this book together, your marriage was restored for those 3 years?
Yeah.
Or were you still living?
It was.
Okay. So tell me, how was your marriage?
You know, we
I'm sorry, say that
again. God did restore for that 3 years. He did restore our marriage. We were going, he was going for counseling. We were going for, he had his own counseling. We were going for marriage counseling. We became more active in the church. We weren't doing things behind the scenes anymore. We became more active members in the church, doing things in the church, you know, doing ministry at home and that. And, you know, the devil has such a way, when he sees things are really working, he has such a way of creeping in and just come to do what he wants to do. So when I found myself at that place again, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, you know, I had to come to a place and accept, I can't do anything. I cannot save this man. There's nothing I can do. He has to choose. And I remember one day, just during this time, standing at the traffic light, and I just picked up Sims that he was looking at the man, and I said to him, you know what, if you want to, you know, if you want to leave, please feel free to go. But I don't think it was the time for him to leave. Because if he had also left at that time when I said it, I would have most probably not also been where I am today. It was not the time yet. God wanted it to happen. You know, it's like the life of Christ. Everything has been foretold, and the prophecies had to be fulfilled. And the way things happened in my life, I'm not saying it was God's plan to hurt me. Please don't misquote me. That is not the way how God operates. God is not a God of that gives us pain. He's a God of peace and love and joy. But it's how it had to happen. Then I embraced it as well. I accepted it. Because if I wasn't shattered and broken and bruised and going through the pain that I went through, would I have turned to God? No. If he had left at the time that I said to him to leave, it would have been easy because I told him to leave. And I would have most probably not been where I am today. I would have most probably gone live a life of sin as well. But it was God's will for me to go through what I went through. to bring me closer to the Lord. And I thank God for that too.
Amen.
I really
Amen.
Do. I thank God. I embrace and praise the Lord for everything.
Amen. And you know, it's beautiful when we give thanks to God because, one, it makes him so happy. And, two, it shows appreciation and gratitude. So at this time, we're going to take a commercial. And this commercial will be brought to you by none other than Jasmine McBride. And she's going to share the title of her book, where you can purchase the book, and her contact information. And I'm going to ask that you please keep her lifted in prayer. And at this time, we're going to turn the mic over to Prophetess Jasmine for the commercial.
Am I on now?
Yeah.
So, listeners, my name is Jasmine McBride. You can purchase the book. It's called The Price of Deception. And the punchline is sin cost, and I wrote it under my former married name, which is Jasmine Howman. Howman is Howmann, and you can purchase it on ebook or on Amazon in paperback. I think it's $10 on ebook and $20. For paperback if you want to get the book there. And if you want to contact me, you can contact me on +1 4077145803, or you can contact me on the other WhatsApp numbers, which is +42060295703. You can contact me on any of these numbers, or you can get hold of me on Instagram, Prophetess Jasmine Howman, or you can get me on Facebook, Jasmine McBride. And if you have any questions, please feel free to dial in, as the apostle said, by calling and using 1 to dial in. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope that my testimony has helped you, and I know many people are going through this. Not only is it women that's going through this, but men are going through this. So feel free to make contact, and thank you for tuning in and listening. God bless you all.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful commercial. Now, I want to transition to, now, had you written any other books prior to writing this book with your husband and then writing this book on your own, or was those your two?
No, I've never published anything, but I have got a lot of things. I'm always writing, and the Lord has been prompting me to write some more books, and as I said, I started the conclusion to the first book. I've got a lot of things that I've written that I want to put in books as well. And then I've got the third book that I'm writing, which is called The Fulfillment of a Promise to a Mother from a Daughter. That's also based on true events. It's also got to do with my childhood and my mom and finding a lost daughter and a lost sister. Me seeking out and searching for my mom's daughter, so lost when she was 6 years old, and me embarking on the quest, if I could say it like that, at the age of 21, trying to find my sister and reunite her with my mother, and not having much information, just her dad's name and the city where dad came from. That's all I had. And so I decided to write a book, and that was inspired when I was reading on the book of Joshua, how courageous he was when the Lord told him to go do things. And I felt so inspired by reading about Joshua and what he did. And I felt, I'm like, wow, Lord, he inspires me so much. I want to be so courageous and so reckless like you. That's reckless faith, and that inspired me. It took me back to always listening as a child. My mom saying she would like to see a daughter before she's 50. And I embarked on that journey with no money, with no nothing, no information, and not knowing that it was even God that was helping me through that journey, but he was with me even through that journey. And I managed by his grace to reunite my mom with my sister after, I think, 18 years. She saw my sister for the first time again. So I'm writing that book as well at the moment now. And then the second book, and then God has also put it in my heart, the desire to write about a woman, what they're going through, breakup of marriages and relationships, to write about those things. And I want to write a book about men as well, because there's not too many platforms for men. And I want to create, like, the grace of God, create a platform for men where they can feel free to talk about their emotions and what they're dealing with, going through breaking up of marriages and relationships. And I think I spoke to you about that, Apostle. That has been one of my strong desires, to create the platform for men on that as well, by the grace of God.
Amen. And, you know, it's a much-needed ministry. I have a men's ministry as well, and I'm a serious advocate for men. And I really believe that God is about to do something awesome in the lives of our men. And many men have been out of position due to the trials, the tribulations, the traumatic experiences, the disappointments, you name it. The enemy has tried to do everything he can to silence the men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God is raising up a standard. And I tell
Amen.
You, I'm excited about that. And I look forward to even doing some work with you, you know, in that area as well. And Prophetess,
Amen.
A lot of these men have been distracted off their assignment by God, not distracted by God, but the assignment they have for God, they have been distracted by
mm-hmm.
and through demonic and diabolical
mm-hmm.
soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the reason I transitioned into it that way is because of your healing and deliverance ministry with breaking soul ties. And I want to kind of connect
Amen.
That back with our interview topic with dealing with the homosexuality.
Yeah.
Most people that struggle with homosexuality, and people that pray for them, people that support them, people that love them, we love the person. We don't love the things that they do. And we don't
mm-hmm.
attack the person. And I'm saying it because
yeah.
many times people mistreat and they abuse homosexuals,
mm-hmm.
same-sex relationships, same-sex marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to, because we're talking about forgiveness, and this is
yeah.
a like sticky topic we're transitioning into. We're supposed to forgive, but many times Christians don't want to forgive homosexuals and
mm-hmm.
don't want to give them an opportunity to have their relationship with God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you displayed the total opposite, which you displayed forgiveness, which I'm going to say helped him versus killing his spirit. So even
mm-hmm.
though a person that is a homosexual, that's their choice, but we don't have to mistreat them. And that's something that I
exactly.
really wanted to stress on this interview, because we should be displaying the characteristics of Christ.
God. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to the soul tie, that soul tie cannot be broken. Like many people will pray and just say, you know, they're going to bind that spirit of homosexuality. It's not that simple, because the spirit of perversion is connected with the spirit of homosexuality. And
exactly,
you cannot separate or point fingers at homosexuals without pointing them at fornicators, without pointing them at adulterers. Sin is sin.
Exactly.
No sin is bigger than the next
sin.
But I really want to move away from mishandling and mistreating homosexuals, because God still loves them. And God wants to,
you know,
deliver them and heal them. So I'm going to, let's open that up for discussion. And I know I said a lot, but whatever way you choose to pick up.
When you talk about soul tidying, and it's not just with people living the same sex. It's got to do, that's why so many marriages is a mess, because they don't know about breaking of soul ties. You have to break soul ties with previous relationships, because I actually did a teaching not so long ago on my spiritual mom, Prophetess Ohana Bello. What an amazing woman of God. I love her so much. I've learned so much from her. I call her Mother Grace, because she's such a gracious woman. She allowed me to do a teaching on breaking of soul ties. And, you know, when it comes, whether it's people with same sex, whether it's people with opposite sex, if soul ties are not broken off you, because let me just use an example. Let's say I have been with five men, and I was sexual active with five men. And those five men were with 10 women each. Whoever they did soul tidying with, those women they were sleeping with. And they come to me, I'm doing soul ties with those men those girls were with too. And whoever they were, whoever I was with, those men are doing soul ties with those men that I was doing soul ties with. And there's different forms of soul ties. It's sexual, it's pornography, it's lust, it's financial, it's verbal, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's physical. Things are not addressed and taught. If we don't teach people and break soul ties, these things are going to follow you. They're going to follow you. And yes, Apostle, as you say, just as God says, he loves the person, but he hates the sin. And just because we love you doesn't give you the right also to do the wrong thing. We love you enough to teach you the right thing. You know, as the apostle said, we need to love people. When we read the book of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, never selfish, not quick to take offense. Love keeps no score or wrongs, does not gloat over another's sin, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. In a word, there are three things that last forever, but the greatest of them all is love. We need to love others, not to judge them, not to look at their sins, but love the person. Allow God to show you who they are. And, you know, in our human form, in our human emotions, Apostle, we cannot love people the way God wants us to love them. But if we know the love of God and know that it's his love in us, through us, we can love others. Amen?
Amen. And it's only through the love of God that we can do it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the things I want to do for the rest of my life is to promote God's love.
Hallelujah.
I believe we are love distributors. And the thing that's so amazing is God loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and that's deep. We don't talk too much about whosoever, because that whosoever, it covers a wide variety of people, people of different colors, people of different ethnicities, people of different nations, whosoever. Who are we to withhold our love to another person because of what they think or what they believe or what they do? We must love. We've been charged by God to love. And we love him.
Yes.
Yes, because he first loved us. And Prophetess, about 2 years ago, I did a love challenge on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage, I challenge everyone to read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, every day. And to learn something new about love, and then to journal and write about it in their private journal, but also to share on Facebook what they learned about love. And then so I was posting different things about love, and I'm going to go back to that. And so the other day when you shared 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter with me, that was like God saying, okay, I'm going to throw this coal on this fire so you could get hot in this area again. Because you know what?
Amen.
It's the love. It's the love that's going to make a difference. And I, you know, if you are struggling with homosexuality, or if you are confident in your homosexuality and your alternative lifestyle, we want you to know that we love you today.
And
Prophetess Jasmine and I, we love you, and God loves you. And we want to provide a safe place where you can be yourself and share in an environment where we can all grow. Because I just have a burden, Prophetess. Because so many homosexuals or the lay lesbian, gay, transgender community. See, when you don't know, you don't know. But I've been talking to a lot of them lately, and I worked with one, and he was a beautiful person, and he used to be really active in the church, and because of the lifestyle change, he had to step down, you know, from his position in the church, and that hurt him deeply, but he understood it. And I guess what I want the listeners to know is that many of these individuals are abused. Many of them are murdered on a regular basis, but we never hear about these things. We hear about all of the other murders and homicides that are taking place, but these men and women are getting murdered senselessly every day. They get kidnapped,
hate crime.
You know. The human trafficking, you know, and I guess, well, I'm not going to guess, you know, when I was preparing for the interview with you, I was like, okay, God, what direction do you really want us to go in? Because we need to expose the works of the enemy. And we also need to provide a platform where God's love will override all of the negativity, all of the hatred, because we need to care about them just like we care about the adulterers, just like we care about the fornicators, just like we care about the murderers. So having said that, the purpose of, you know, bringing these kind of topics and shows to our audience is because Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, it is for real people with real problems that are looking for real soul, S-O-U-L, solutions. And Prophetess, we can't do that if we want to be start shirts. We can't do that if we want to be all quiet and we can't talk about this, or we can't interact with certain people because they do this and they do that. No, Jesus came and he walked amongst those that most Christians don't want to walk with today. You feel me?
Amen. Yes. It can
so the mic is yours.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, it's not nice for us to condemn them. In themselves, they already feel condemned. So we shouldn't even be condemning them. You know, if you wanna draw people to God, I was speaking this to my spiritual father. And I said to him, how do we draw people to God? It's through love. Love them the way the Lord loves them. If you don't know how to love them, ask God to show you how to love them. Say, Lord, let me love them the way you love them. Let me see them the way you see them. Let me understand them the way you understand them. Let me hear them the way you do. because it's God's love in you through you. How can we say we love God yet we hate? We hate people because of their sexual orientation. How can we say we love God? How can we profess to say, I love my neighbor? He or she is your neighbor. Love them. You want them to draw to God? Love them. You want them to know who God is? Love them. Show kindness to them. Just as it's sometimes even hard to love your brother and sister in Christ. It's sometimes hard. But if you love God and you know the love of God and you're a true believer of the love of Christ and you really follow the commandments that it says, and the Holy Spirit showed me this. So the first commandment is love thy Lord God with all thy heart and all thy might and all thy soul. So the first commandment, when you have that love for God, then the second commandment comes through naturally, because you need to activate the first one to be able to receive the second one, for the second one to be alive, living, and projecting through you and in you. You cannot have the second one if you do not have the first one. And God commands us to love one another. He commands us to forgive each other, not to hold any transgression against anyone. That is not our place. Our place is to love, to forgive, to show kindness, mercy, and peace, and show joy. And that's how you're going to draw people to God. Don't judge people. They're already condemning themselves so much. They're already hating themselves so much. How can we still go and project such feelings upon them? How can we draw them to God if we cannot show the character of God? How do people know that we are people of God? Didn't the Lord say, for I formed you in your mother's womb, I have consecrated you. When you set your path, you're not from this world. You might be in this world, but therefore your character is different. You should be a man and a woman of God of integrity, to walk in humility with grace and love and mercy for others. That is the integrity. That is a Christ-like integrity. And that's how people will identify you, through your characteristics that is Christ-like. And that is showing love and mercy and grace and humility and kindness and meekness to others. That is a true Christian. Don't hold nothing against your brothers and sisters. Love them. Pray for them. When the Lord shows you something is wrong with someone, don't judge them. The Holy Spirit has been telling me, tell them not to judge, because they will be held accountable. Tell them to be careful of their utterance, but love others. Show them love, and not your love, godly love. Let God, the God in you, through you, let His love shine through you. That is how you're going to draw people with same-sex attraction to the Lord. That's how you're going to make them curious to want to know, who is this God that you serve? Who is this God that He's the mindful of you? Who is this God that shows love to Him or to her? Who is this God that's so mindful of you? Show them God's love, not yours. In your flesh, you're going to fail. But allow God's love in you, through you, for others. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Well said. Well spoken. And I must say, Jasmine, that the love of God is just really pouring out of you. And this is a really wonderful interview. And I thank you so much for everything, because we cover a lot of information. And the love is needed on so many levels. So that could be one of our key prayer points that we can close out with. But right now, I want to go back to the soul ties for a moment, because you were elaborating on the soul ties, and that's a much needed ministry. And a lot of people don't understand how the soul ties work, and people that, because we've just been dealing with the topic of homosexuality, I'm bringing it up, but I'm also connecting it to other things as well, because no matter what the sin is, when a person's mind is perverted in that way, they can't overcome it on their own if they wanted to, because the spirit of error is in operation, spirit of confusion, and I just want to share a scripture in Romans 1, 25 through 27, and it's the Amplified version. Mm-hmm. It says, because by choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped mm-hmm. and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Mm-hmm. Amen. For this reason, mm-hmm. God gave them over to degrading and vile passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, a function contrary to nature. And in the same way, also, the men turned away from the natural function of the woman and were consumed with their desire toward one another. Men with men committing shameful acts, and in return, receiving in their own bodies the inevitable and appropriate penalty for their wrongdoing. So in this text, we see the spirit of error. We see that there are, I guess what there's so many contributing factors in this.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at, of course, this is talking about the homosexuality, but in that opening verse, it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and mm-hmm. served the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important because in your book and even in your testimony, you shared how your ex-husband, how he rejected the truth to believe a lie.
Yep.
And it's important.
That's true. They clothed themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And it's important that we point that out because he didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I want to reject the word of God. So that part of his mind, his emotions, his will, his intellect, he was totally controlled by the spirit of perverted. Now, when something is mm-hmm. perverted, it is altered, it is changed from its original purpose. So whether
from
it's homosexuality, whether... Yes, whether it's a murderer, you know, something happens where the spirit of perversion perverts the mind. So that's why people are able to do degrading and vile things. So go ahead, mm-hmm, the mic mm-hmm. is yours.
It's what happens is what the Lord showed me is, you know, even though, and I'm talking about in general, even though you know who you are, but you purposely refuse to be who God created you to be, and you purposely decide to clothe yourself in the wrong identity, you make that conscious choice. You know, especially if you know that it's wrong, and you can quote scripture after scripture where you actually teach and you say, but this is wrong, yet you purposely refuse to adhere to the word and to adhere to your own lustful nature. So it does become perverse. It is a perverseful nature. And you're so right on that. It is a perverseful nature, Apostle, because it's part of lust, pornography, masturbation. It's so big. It's so much bigger than what you can even imagine. If I could use this as an example, when God called me into ministry, it was first counseling and then teaching. And I remember the first person, I will never forget, who called me and told me he had problems with pornography. And I was like alone and I'm like, Lord, I've never done this before. How do I do this? And the Holy Spirit said to me, just do what I tell you. You just do what I tell you. And I just allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me. And he delivered that man from pornography, from masturbation and all the sexual perversion things he was doing. The Lord delivered him immediately. Why? He wanted to be set free. You must want it too. The same as you either want God or you want that. But it doesn't mean I'm going to hate you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to mm-hmm. be here for you. I'm not shutting the door because you're going to come through that door. And I need to be ready when you come through that door to be able to help you, because that's what God has called me to do. never did I know that the Lord was going to use me. Somebody else who came out of this lifestyle, he was in the lifestyle for 8 years, and there's a page on Facebook, homosexuals coming out, and I responded, and he said, out of all the people, I was the only one who felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord began to use me to help him come out of that lifestyle. And I thank God, I'm humble. I don't allow pride to take over when it comes to these things. I'm really, really humble before the Lord, because he could have chosen anyone, but he chose me to help this man. It wasn't me who did it. It was the Lord in me, through me. That's how God works. And we must just love them. Again, it is about love, Apostle. We know they're doing wrong. We know they're choosing this. You need to pray for the Lord to bring them back to their natural form, to change their way of thinking. That is what we need to pray. And just love on them. Just love them. That's all we can do.
So, Prophetess Jasmine, will you agree to come back and we could do some topics where we could talk and pray? I mean, really seek God. Because I don't want us to just...
I would be so humble. I would be so humble
okay,
great, to do that.
Okay, great. And Pastor Albert Giff said he's following along on the broadcast. So I just wanted to acknowledge
that's
that he was present.
That's my spiritual mother.
Yes, so you
and
can
so
give
so is my spiritual mother. My two spiritual mothers is watching, listening to Prophet Preserving Chuma Okuchukwu. She's been with me through this journey from the beginning when... through my separation, and then my other spiritual mom, Prophetess Ohana Bella, I'm the woman of grace. I just want to give thanks to the two of them. And then my other spiritual father, Prophet Manasseh Nana Kafe from Ghana. What an amazing man too. He teaches me to be violent against demonic spirits. the Lord has really blessed me. I mean, Pastor Gift Albert, which is my, I have two spiritual fathers and two spiritual mothers. They are, all four of them are such amazing people in my life, and they contribute so much in my life, and I've learned so much. And my spiritual father, Manasseh from Ghana, is the one who ordained me and anointed my head into the office that the Lord has called me. And Pastor Gift Albert is the one who rebukes me when I do wrong.
And it's all done in love.
Yeah, he does. He says I'm his darling, so I don't allow him to call anyone else darling. I'm his only darling. Amen. Yeah, they're just phenomenal people, amazing people in my life. Yeah.
Yes, and I thank you for taking the time to acknowledge them. I truly believe that we have to love on and show appreciation to those that, you know, really sow into our lives. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you all for listening.
That's
and if
true.
You do
and
have a comment or a word of encouragement for Prophetess Jasmine, you could write it in the comments. Or if you are listening, you could press 1 to get on the mic to speak
and
with your spiritual daughter. So go ahead, Jasmine. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Barbie Weber, which is my spiritual daughter, and Maria, Prophetess Dilgen, Kia, and Sisi Masuka, which is my other spiritual daughter. The Lord sent me to the U.S., and those are the people also with my spiritual parents, of course, who were supporting me and being with me up through this whole journey coming to the U.S. as the Lord has sent me for women's ministry. So I'm working on for the platforms for invitations. I am available, if I may say that, on air. If anyone wants to invite me to a conference and that, or as you said, I'm willing to come onto your show so we can help people through this and teach and embrace and love on people and let them know that it is a place of safety and confidentiality. If they need help, you know, if they want to talk to you or to me, they can feel free. And thank you so much, Apostle, for such favor upon my life. We give God the glory. And I'm so humbled that I could share a part of my journey. There's so much still to share, but in time as God allows me to share. Amen. I'm really, really humble for this opportunity to be here. Yeah, and to those who support me in the ministry, who's always there for me. And yeah, I do have my days where I throw my toys out of the cot. I do. But God is faithful. That's what I want to tell the listeners. We have our bad days, but who we are in Christ never changes. His love for us never changes, no matter what the situation or the circumstances is. His love stays. Amen?
His love stays the same, yes. And I, you know, I thank you so much, but I'm going to save my remarks to the end of the show, which we have about 24 more minutes in. And I want to remind everyone why we are here. I met this awesome woman of God during a different ministry, a live event on Facebook. And she wanted the opportunity to get her story out. And so today is a day of celebration of the life of this wonderful woman of God that is far from perfect. I'm far from perfect. But you know what? In our imperfections, God saw something that he could use, Prophetess Jasmine. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Amen. I wrote a post the other day. I said it's our imperfection that draws us to God's perfection. And it's God's perfection that draws him to our imperfection. Amen?
Yes. Hallelujah. And and I just want to say to those that are listening, the reason we're here is to support Jasmine by purchasing a copy of her book that is entitled The Price of Deception, Sin Cost. And this book is available on Amazon.com. And the title, again, is The Price of Deception, Sin Cost. Now, I want to encourage you to display kindness by purchasing a book and sharing it with someone that you know are struggling in this area where you feel like this book could be a blessing to them. Because not only would you be blessed, but you're going to help somebody else receive their healing and their deliverance. Now, Prophetess Jasmine McBride is available for speaking engagements. So if you would like to get in contact with her, we're going to do another commercial, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Prophetess Jasmine, and she's going to give you her contact information. And please feel free to also reach out to her on Facebook. And her Facebook information, she'll just give you all of that information. But at this time, we're going to take a commercial break, and I'm turning the mic over to our featured guest today, the author of The Price of Deception and Sin Cost, Prophetess Jasmine McBride. The mic is yours.
Thank you. So, listeners, you can contact me on +1 4077145801, or you can contact me on Instagram, Prophetess Jasmine Howman, or on Facebook, Jasmine McBride, if you like. Please make contact if you feel you need deliverance of soul ties or unforgiveness or counseling or healing. Please do feel free to contact me, and as the apostle said, I am available. If anyone would like to invite me to any women's conferences, please do contact me on +1 4077145803. Thank you so much, listeners. And yeah, please do, if you can purchase the book, share it with someone. Know that it's not about purchasing the book, it's about saving a soul. Amen. One soul at a time.
Amen. One soul at a time, one day at a time, and one prayer at a time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I am so excited.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited for you. I'm so humbled.
Amen.
Well, you know,
thank
being
you for
in the ministry.
I really...
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm going to have you back again, most definitely. But, you know, doing ministry is not a glamorous job. And it's not, you know, a lot of people are in a rush to get into ministry. And we have to really be careful about what we're asking for. And then when God calls us, you know, Jonah ran for a reason, Jasmine. And he knew that the people was going to respond to his message. And honestly, he didn't want the people to get healed and delivered. So he chose to disobey God. But ministry is not glamorous. And what I want people to understand
people
is that. Go ahead.
People think that ministry is such a nice thing to do. I love what I'm doing. Don't get me wrong. But it's tough because we have to put ourselves aside, called us. And we do it with joy and with love because when I hear the praise reports, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Another one is set free. Another one is delivered. Another one is healed. Another one understands. Another one is coming to become who God has created them to be. I rejoice. It's hard work.
Amen.
Ministry is very, very hard work, and it's very challenging. Very challenging.
But you know what? In all honesty, you had no idea that this challenge you went through in your marriage where your husband, you know, had an alternative lifestyle, you had no idea that God was preparing you for a healing and deliverance ministry where he was going to use you to specialize in breaking and teaching on soul ties. So, the reason I go ahead.
No, that's true. Go ahead.
But the reason I said that because I want to talk about during our interview before we arrived here, I had asked a question and I said, Prophetess Jasmine, what is the low of your ministry, and what is the high of your ministry, and I want you to just share with our audience.
Okay, the low for me is if I can't do ministry, I get frustrated. I need to be busy. I need to do ministry. I need to be there. I need to help the people of God. That is the low for me if I cannot do ministry. The high for me is when I see God coming in and he just moves and I hear the praise reports. The Lord has delivered us. I'm set free. I'm healed. That is the high for me. That is like, thank you, Jesus. You've done it again. It humbles me. To be honest with you, it doesn't make me feel high. It brings so much of humility on me. It humbles me. It makes me weep because of God. That is so good. For me, the low is when I cannot do ministry. I want to be busy all the time. I want to be out there. I want to do what God has called me. I want to please the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and everything in me. For me, the high is just doing what God has called me to do. The low is when I can't do ministry. Because sometimes the Lord will say to me, No. You need to take time out because I'm not very disciplined in time, Apostle. I can go from one to another to another to another. And the Lord will say, no, you need to rest. And he will allow nobody to call me for a week or so. And I'm like, Lord, are you there?
Right.
I need to do something. I need to pour out into people. You've been pouring into me. I need to pour out. You know what's so amazing is, Apostle, I was telling my spiritual father, Pastor Albert Gift, and my spiritual mom, Amina. I was telling them the Lord spoke to me yesterday morning, and he gave me a word, and I couldn't remember it in the morning, but I remembered in the evening, Ichabod, and I was like, what does Ichabod mean? And I had the spelling wrong, and the Lord gave it to me, and he said to me, this is what it means. Oh, my word, it is so powerful. And when I told Pastor Gift, my spiritual dad, this one, he says, woman of God, do you know, I don't think the Lord has ever told anyone this word. It's in Matthew's, I will send it to you. It says, Jesus used the word Ichabola in Matthew's 9:38, where he begs his disciples to pray for the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest field. Ichabola is not a normal term used for sin, as most of our translations have it. It is a spiritual, a violent word for the passion and force. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so passionate when it comes to the things of God. And I'm very violent. So that was very powerful when the Lord gave me that word. And I didn't know what it meant, but now I know it is for us that the Lord is sending out into the field to take authority over demons. I will send the scripture to you. It is so amazing. And then I heard the Lord say, Georgia. And I'm like, Georgia, Lord? Are you sending me to Georgia? Okay. And then I heard he said, Canada. Cole, you're going to do a woman's ministry in Canada. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And this is what I love about God. And I hope the listeners are going to listen to this. You know, when we begin to seek God out, we're going to hear his voice like you and I are having a conversation. That's how I hear his voice. I hear God as plain as daylight. And I'm so humbled by that. So that's why I said, I can't stop doing ministry. I want to be busy all the time. I don't like lows, Apostle. Lows don't feel right for me. I want highs all the time. Highs are seeing people being released, being set free, being healed. You know, people becoming who God created them to be. And just to love on people, just to love people, and just to be there for people. That is the highs for me. And the high knowing that I have life and have it more abundantly. And, I would also ask for the listeners to pray for me as I'm praying for my own place as well. I would love to have my own place while I'm here in the U.S. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And God will grant you your heart's desire. Just continue to wait on him. And, you know, just be still and know that he is God. There is a scripture that I want to release over you today. When you start explaining, like, the low of your ministry, one of the things that you didn't say was that you see the things that people are going through and it makes you weep. And I want to highlight on that. And then you said that, you know, you just want to do God's work and you want to be busy doing God's work. But you also said that God told you you got to rest. So I'm glad that, you know, we have to have that balance there. But you really are speaking. You're speaking the heartbeat of God because, like, my passion for doing what I do is the cries of God's people and no other reason. You know, God gave me a mandate to share inspirational messages of hope and to pray for his people. I mean, the ministry is big, right? But prophetess, when you hear and you see the discomfort of the people, it's just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a burning desire in his heart to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
When I feel people's emotions, I begin to weep. Some people call me the weeping prophet because I weep. And the Lord says, when you weep, I'm breaking chains off people while you weep. I'm setting people free.
Don't you love it? And it's like sometimes when I'm weeping, like especially if I'm in service, people come over and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be. I'm like, it's already okay. This ain't even about me. God is interceding for somebody else. Like, it's okay with you.
And you know, we praise God. Bless their little hearts, like they say in Texas. Bless your little heart. If only they were discerning in the spirit, they would be weeping with you. Amen? With rejoicing. Hallelujah.
Yes. You know, it is, you know, I'm just, God is highlighting so many different things through this interview. But I want to, because we are coming to the close, but I want to decree this word over your life. And it is so lined up with everything that you just said. And it's in Psalm 9, verse 1. And I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in a different version. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And that is the King James Version.
Amen.
And then in the Amplified Version, it says, I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. And verse 2 says, I will rejoice and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And woman of God, verse 3 is going to be the verse that's going to catapult you to another level of giving God thanks and praise and showing forth his marvelous works, because it says, when my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. And that is the verse that I want you to know, that every prayer that you have prayed on behalf of his people, every mountain is falling down flat.
Hallelujah.
Everything that's been too low is coming up high. And everything that's been too high is coming down low. The enemy must turn back. And
Hallelujah.
If it wasn't for your intercession, if it wasn't for your counseling sessions, if it wasn't because your desire is to show forth God's wonderful works, his wonders, and his marvelous deeds. See, you are a humble woman. You are a humble servant. Have you been called to the prophetic office? Yes. But does that change the fact that you're a servant? No, it doesn't. Most people that have this kind of ministry, they do get big-headed and pride comes in. But I do not see an ounce of pride in you. And I just want to encourage you to stay humble, stay before the Lord, and know that your prayers are making a difference. Your ministries is making a difference. You know, when we talk about the highs and the lows, as intercessors, we go through. But prophetess, when you are called to the fivefold ministry, that's the only way you're able to release revelation like you did today with that word. Only the grace of God.
Amen.
I want you to protect what God has birthed inside of you. And I want you to know today that not only has the enemy turned back for all of the people that you have interceded for, even now the enemy is turning away and is walking away from the assignment against your life. Now, is he going to come back again? You know he is. But right now, Psalm 21, it is saying he is turning away. He is walking away.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? The enemy will not be able to perform their assignment against your life.
Amen.
So this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and you have been listening to a very informative interview with an awesome woman of God, an author, published author. She is a prophetess. She is a child of God, but she is a servant, and she loves to serve God as she serves others.
Amen.
Prophetess Jasmine, I love you. I thank God for you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word I just released over you, and then you can transition into your closing remarks as we get ready to close out today.
And I just want to thank God and give God the glory and the honor and the praise for such favor upon my life this day. And I know this was divinely ordained by God, and we give God the glory and the honor. I cannot take anything. It is all God's will for my life and for the life. And whatever it is that God has divinely ordained for this program, for the listeners, I pray that it will come to manifestation, everything that God has planned for your lives and foretold for your life. And humbly, I thank God for your obedience, Apostle, for hosting me and giving me this opportunity to be on the show and to share. And I'll leave this word with you. Do not be ashamed of anyone, to the listeners. Shame the devil. You have nothing to be ashamed of, because Jesus took your shame 2,000 years ago when he gave his life to you. The Lord acknowledged you. He found you worthy. He validated you. He gave you his affirmation, the affirmation or acknowledgement or validation of man. God has given it to you 2,000 years ago. stay focused on God, stay focused on what God has called you to be, and don't worry about the things that's going on. Trust God and just believe that God will get you through it, because if God could get me through it, God will get you through it. And again, Apostle, thank you so much. I'm excited for what God is going to do in the next season with this program, and how God is going to use us for his glory with this program, with the new platforms that's coming on. And also to the men out there, I know that there's men that get physical abuse by their wives as well, that doesn't want to speak. That is not your shame. Release that shame. Feel free to call us, contact us. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and for being here. And I just speak Psalms 91 over each and every one of you. We who dwell in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will say, the Lord is our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we trust. Surely he will save us from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. The Lord will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we shall find refuge. The Lord's faithfulness shall be our shield and rampart. We shall not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks at midday, nor the plague that stalks at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. They shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you observe and see the punishment of the wicked. When you say the Lord is your refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, the harm will overtake you. No disaster shall come near your home. For the Lord shall command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He will lift you up in his hands so that you may not strike your foot against a stone. That is my message for you today. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will deliver you from everyone and everything. Trust God in everything. Thank you so much, Apostle. I know we're running out of time. We'll speak soon again and again. Humbly, I thank you. I'm so humble for this opportunity. God bless you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you. And woman of God, before we go, I do have a comment to share with you. Rachel Baba is my sister in Christ from Nigeria. And she said, we can't wait to tap into this great anointing embedded in you, woman of God. So you can respond to her. She's listening
to you. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. It's not mine.
Amen.
I'm just the vessel. It is the Lord's. I am just so humble. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I want to encourage everyone to stay tuned, because Prophetess Jasmine McBride is going to be joining the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and I'm very excited to be working with her. We have a lot of shows that we're going to be doing together, but she will be going solo and doing some things that God has placed on her heart as well. So we ask for your prayers as we continue to do the work that God has called us to do. But we are going to be doing some series on soul ties, and we ask that you stay tuned. If there's any topics that you would like for us to discuss, please comment in the comments, or please reach out to us on Facebook.
Amen.
God bless you all for joining us today. And Prophetess Jasmine, thank you. May God continue to strengthen you and heaven smile upon you. God bless everyone and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you, Apostle.
God bless
you
too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.